You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
At the current rate, it'll take the City of Vancouver 42 years to implement their policy of replacing the SRO hotel rooms with self-contained social housing. So says the author of a new report by the Carnegie Community Action Project. This is the third year they've studied the cost of rents for low-income residents in the downtown east side. The report is based on a survey of 90 privately owned and run hotels by CCAP staff and volunteers who got information from hotels with 93% of the privately owned rooms in the downtown east side. Pushed Out, Escalating Rents in the Downtown East Side was written by Jean Swanson and Wendy Peterson, and Wendy joins me in our studio. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Now, this is the third year you've done the report. What kind of picture does it paint of what's available as housing for low-income residents in the Downtown East Side?
It shows that seniors on pensions in the Downtown East Side and people on welfare are definitely getting pushed out indirectly, slowly, over time. Last year, there were 29% of our rooms renting at the welfare rate, which is $375 a month for shelter. That's how much you get from welfare. You can't spend it in other ways. You can only spend it on your rent. So 29% last year and only 12% this year. The previous year, the 3 years ago, it was more up in the 40% range.
So we're
losing rooms quickly, but it's hard to see unless you go around door to door and find out what the rent rates are in the buildings.
What does that mean on the ground for people who are seeking a place to live on a limited income?
It means they're digging into their pockets deep down into their food money to pay for rent. It means they're in survival-based activities, selling stuff on the street, selling sex, selling drugs. It means they're making the hideous choice, the so-called false choice of, maybe I should just sleep outside or sleep in a shelter because I can't afford this rent. The places that I go are full of bed bugs. Maybe it's too noisy inside. The conditions are bad. It's one of those pieces of the puzzle that drives people outside. And we're telling the mayor and council and the city that the cause of these rent increases needs to be looked at as a possible cause of homelessness. If they're wondering why homelessness keeps going up, it may not be because we have the warmest climate in Canada. In fact, homelessness is going up everywhere across Canada. You need to look at the impact of these rent increases.
Let's talk a little bit more about the kind of accommodation that someone could expect. So if I was on a limited on welfare and I had $375 and I wanted to live in this neighborhood, what kind of accommodation could I get for that kind of money?
You're in heavy competition for the 12% of the rooms in the neighborhood of the 3,700 rooms that are privately owned. So heavy competition. If you do get in one of them, it's a 10x10 room. You might have a sink and a bed. No bathroom, no kitchen. You're sharing a bathroom with 20 people on your floor. Sometimes that bathroom's working, sometimes not. So it's very, very extreme, I'd say third world conditions for people in this neighborhood. And I work with a lot of people who live in the hotels and they want to live in self-contained housing. And once they do get into self-contained housing, people wouldn't realize the transformation that people go through. You're able to put kind of sink and down and put down some roots and deal with your health concerns and deal with other issues. You have energy to volunteer. So we're really, really upset with the city that the replacement rate is so slow, and we're really upset that they won't slow the conditions that's creating these rent increases. And the city has a power to do this. They always want to say it's about rent control at the provincial level. Yes, true, it'd be wonderful if we had rent control, which we don't. But the city has the tools in their hand to stop this problem, and they aren't using them.
What do you want the city to do?
Well, first of all and foremost, we need them to buy property in the Downtown East Side and set it aside for social housing. That's the number one thing they need to do, and they are not. And actually, this council has been proving to us lately that they do not want to buy property for social housing in this neighborhood, and we're at a crossroads with them. We've kept the door open for 2 years, meetings, emails, council meetings, research, reports, nice. And we've got some clear answers from them. I could go through them. It's complicated, but that's the one. But I could tell it's interesting, though, to find out where Vision is around social housing. I don't think they're serious about ending homelessness anymore. I haven't been able to say that until now, but I can say that now.
So you've obviously kind of come to a tipping point in your understanding of where the politics of the current council is, and I know that something that contributed to this is the recent events around the American Hotel and the redevelopment there. Talk to us about that.
Well, the American Hotel is right by the Main Street SkyTrain station on Main Street, and the owner wants to redevelop it, and he's opening up a new bar down below. And out of the rooms that he's going to renovate, only 6 of the rooms will be rented at what people on welfare can afford, although they're still going to have to dig in $25 out of their food money to live there. So 6 rooms at $400 a month. And the other rooms will be between, I don't know, $550, we heard, all the way, I heard, up to $775 a month. So that means if you're going to live at the American Hotel, you need to be able to be making about $31,000 a year in order to live at that $700 range. If you're on minimum wage, you can make about $16,000 a year. So just put it in perspective. We don't consider the higher-end units low-income housing, but the city does. The city calls it low-income housing. So they're not measuring the change in the conversion of these rooms from 375 to 700. And that's where we're trying to nail them. We're saying, look, you're not counting all these hotel rooms as losses, but they're losses to us because the people now on welfare have no place to go. So through that discussion with the city, we were able to find out why they aren't interested to build social housing in the Downtown East Side. They would build it if somebody else would build it for them, probably, but they don't want to buy the land because they said it's too much of a drain on city resources. They said we need to have partnerships with the senior governments first before we can engage and take that leap, which is not true. In fact, it's the opposite. The city always buys the land first, designates it for 10 years, and then fights for the province and the federal government to put the housing on. They also said that there's no senior government funding coming. And so, you know, that to us is a cop-out. You need to fight for that. They also said they believe in the full spectrum of affordability. And even in the Downtown East Side, they need to be able to provide housing at the $700 range. Well, what we're saying is, well, the market can do that. The market clearly can do that. You don't need to help. What your job is to help the people who are desperately in need at the bottom level, who need the subsidy and need your help.
Mm-hmm. And when I come to that case of the American Hotel, what could the city have done? So the city allowed that, councillors voted to allow that development to go ahead.
All of them except for Councillor Woodworth.
So what could they have done differently in that case to use their political leverage to make sure that at that particular site there was more housing that was available for low-income people?
Well, it would have been tough to do too much at this stage. It's so far down the road, but what they should have done before is buy the hotel or arrange with the province to buy the hotel. Or they could have made the rules tighter with real estate speculation in the neighborhood. There could be a rate of change bylaw. They could insist that for every new development in the Downtown East Side, you have to provide a certain number of rooms at 375. And that rule could be just clearly laid out to everybody. And then they could have tried to get the province involved and a nonprofit housing provider involved on the site to lease it from the owner and let the owner have the bar. That's where the money is. That's the license to print money is downstairs. It's not upstairs.
And I also want to point to at the meeting where this was discussed in council, apparently there was someone who made a comment on the fact that they have this license for a bar to print money. How can you explain that they would have the 6 rooms that are available are at 400 and not 375, given that they will be making so much money?
I don't know.
On the
they must have been trying to bargain with the owner. Maybe the owner, there was some back and forth. It doesn't make sense. I think Councillor Woodsworth in the meeting said, can't the guy afford 6 times $25 a month? Like, come on. So I think there's just a lack of understanding of really where people are at in this neighborhood and how hard it is to find housing and to live on such low welfare rates. And then really what we want this council to do very quickly is demonstrate to us that they're in favor of 100% social housing projects in the neighborhood. And on Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. at City Council, council will look at a proposal from their staff about a new library that they're going to build on Hastings and Heatley. And we've been pushing. We did petitions and letters, and we visited the library board, and we want social housing on top of that library. Staff are saying, no, it's going to be a standalone building. And it'll be key. If this council does not even put it in the design, we're so conservative in our ask. We're asking them just to design it for housing. Don't build it right now if you don't have the money, but just tell us it will be housing in the future for families, for anybody, please. But I think they're going to vote in favor of it, of a standalone building. And given everything else they've said about buying property and it not being possible, practical, whatever their excuses are, I think we've hit a crossroads with this council. I'm really disappointed because I held out such high hopes that we could get something. And gentrification is a big wave that's hitting the downtown east side. Everybody knows it. The speculation is increasing. It's putting the pressures on the rents in the hotels, which are going up. This low-income stores are being converted to, properties that could be low-income housing or stores. That opportunity is not there. More yuppie stores are coming in. There's more a sense of exclusion. All of that's coming, and the council is the one that has the tools, the city has the tools to soften the blow of gentrification, and I don't see it happening. So
if people are hearing this and they want to make their thoughts known to council on this and pressure for the things that are needed to revitalize this community for the low-income people who live here, what should they do?
They should write. I mean, there's lots of things you could do, but the easiest thing would be to get on your email and write to mayor and council at vancouver.ca and say downtown east side social housing, and then demand that this council buy property in the boundaries of the downtown east side and designate it as social housing urgently. And that is the most important thing that they can do, and tell them that they're watching and they're paying attention to this issue.
So everyone who's listening who thinks that should happen could take 3 minutes and send an email to mayor and council at vancouver.ca.
And say, buy land in the downtown east side and designate it. We know you can do it. You've got the resources. You can not renovate the mayor's office. You can do all of the little things that you need to do to dig down deep to make this happen and demonstrate to people in the downtown east side that you're on their side.
Thank you, Wendy.
Okay.
I've been speaking with Wendy Peterson. She's a co-author of a report on housing in the downtown east side. It's called Pushed Out, Escalating Rents in the Downtown East Side.